Hare Krishna. We welcome you on this most auspicious occasion of the appearance day of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. According to the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the absolute truth is realized in three features. Preliminary is Brahman, the impersonal light that emanates from the transcendental form of the Lord. Next is Paramatma, the localized super soul within the hearts of the living entities. But the last word in realization of the absolute truth is Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So the jnanis who realize the impersonal Brahman realize only the sat aspect or eternal aspect of the absolute truth. The yogis who realize the Paramatma within the heart realize the eternal and cognizant features of the absolute truth. But only the devotees who realize Krishna experience ananda or bliss, which is the goal of every living entity, because it is the nature of every living entity. Once an interviewer asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the goal of life? And Srila Prabhupada replied that the goal of life is to enjoy. Now, materially, the effort to enjoy through the senses and mind leads only to frustration and misery. But spiritually, one can enjoy in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is eternal. Unlike the temporary so-called happiness of the material world. And that eternal happiness can be realized through the mercy of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. His very name, Nityananda, Nitya means eternal, and Ananda means bliss. So if we can come in touch with Lord Nityananda, we can realize that eternal bliss for which we are hankering. Now, how do we become eligible for Lord Nityananda's mercy? That we can learn from Lord Nityananda's the description of Lord Nityananda's qualities and pastimes in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is considered the most authorized book, biography about the teachings and activities of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and their associates. There are a number of verses that describe in summary the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. But I will come to one of them, which is instructive. Please repeat after me. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
So we shall read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 17. The Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in His Youth, Text 17. Tabi sache dekila Rama Krishna dui bai. Tabe nistarila Prabhu jagai madhai. Translation. Thereafter, Mother Sachi Devi saw the brothers Krishna and Balaram in their manifestation of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. Then the Lord delivered the two brothers, Jagai and Madhai. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One night, Sachi Devi dreamt that the deities in her house, Krishna and Balaram, had taken the forms of Chaitanya and Nityananda and were fighting one another, as children do, to eat the Naivedya, or offering to the deities. On the next day, by the will of Lord Chaitanya, Sachi Devi invited Nityananda to take prasadam at her house. Thus Vishwambar, Lord Chaitanya, and Nityananda were eating together. And Sachi Devi realized that they were none other than Krishna and Balaram. Seeing this, she fainted. So, the story, as related in Shastra, is that Sachi Devi had a dream. And she told her son, Nimai, last night I had a wonderful dream. And in this dream, you and Nityananda went into my deity room and you picked up the deity of Balaram and Nitai picked up the deity of Krishna. And the deities started to protest. You can't take us from the altar. You can't take us out of the deity room. And then you and Nityananda replied, your days of stealing butter and playing pranks are over. Now you are appearing as Brahmins to chant the holy names. So then they started to fight over the offerings of Mother Sachi, and Krishna and Balaram said, "These are meant for us. You can't have these." And they were saying, "But now you have appeared as us, so we can take them." And so Mother Sachi asked Lord Chaitanya, "What do you think of this dream?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "This is a very wonderful dream, but don't tell anyone about it." Because he was concealing his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he didn't want anyone to know that he was Krishna and Nityananda was Balaram. And then Chaitanya said, Lord Chaitanya said, that I would go into the deity room to have the Maha Prasad, the remnants of the offerings, and I would see that half of it was gone. And his wife, Vishnu Priya, was listening to this. He knew that she was listening. He said, "So when I would see that half of the offering was gone, I would suspect that it was Vishnu Priya who took the Maha Prasad. But now I'm seeing that these deities are very mystical, and I am suspecting that they themselves might be eating half of the remnants that were meant for us." They said, "Anyway, I think tomorrow you should invite Nityananda for lunch." And she did. And as they were having lunch, she saw them transform themselves into Krishna and Balaram. And then she fainted. Next. Jagai and Madhai were two brothers born in Navadvip in a respectable Brahmin family who later became addicted to all kinds of sinful activities. By the order of Lord Chaitanya, both Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur used to preach the cult of Krishna consciousness door to door. In the course of preaching, they found Jagai and Madhai, two maddened, drunken brothers, who upon seeing them, began to chase them. The next day, Madhai struck Nityananda Prabhu on the head with a piece of earthen pot, thus drawing blood. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard of this, he immediately came to the spot, ready to punish both brothers. But when the all-merciful Lord Gauranga saw Jagai's repentant behavior, he immediately embraced him. by seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face and embracing Him, both the sinful brothers were at once cleansed. Thus they received initiation into the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra from the Lord and were delivered. So this is a very important pastime of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, which is worth describing in detail, because it will give us an insight into the actual mission of Gaur Nithai, and through parampara disciplic succession, the mission of Srila Prabhupada, and consequently the mission of his followers. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he ordered Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur to go into Navadvip to approach whoever they met on the way, and to go door to door and meet people at home and request them to chant the name of Krishna, to worship Krishna, to accept Krishna as their life and soul, and the treasure of their wealth. And not to distinguish between who was qualified and who was not qualified. So many people in Navadvip were pious, and when Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur approached them, they accepted it, that they're asking us to chant Krishna's name and worship Krishna and accept Krishna as the treasure of our lives, and they accepted it. And they all developed pure love for Krishna. One day, as Nityananda and Haridas were making their way around Navadvip, they saw a large crowd of people who were watching a sort of spectacle from a distance. So they went into the crowd and they asked, "What is this?" And they could see these two drunken brothers. So the townspeople explained that, you know, they're Jagai and Madhai. They were born in respectable Brahmin families. But from a very young age, they fell into bad association. And they engaged in all sorts of sinful activities. I mean, very sinful, horrible activities. They would murder people. They would burn down their houses. They would loot them and rob them and plunder them. They would rape women. There's not a sin that we can think of that they have not committed. And they drink wine and eat cow's flesh. They're very dangerous. And the whole of Navadvip lives in fear of them. So Nityananda Prabhu thought, so far we have just been approaching pretty much just pious people. And they've taken up the order of Mahaprabhu. and they have become pure lovers of Krishna. But no one really knows the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. But if we can convert Jagai and Madhai, then everyone will know the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. So Nityananda approached them, accompanied by Haridas, and he delivered the message, chant Krishna's name, worship Krishna, follow Krishna's instructions, glorify Krishna, give up your sinful activities. And these two drunken brothers, they're very powerful, physically very powerful, and very arrogant. So they became enraged that, you know, who are these people to tell us to worship Krishna and give up our sinful activities? So they decided to kill the two, and they started to pursue them, you know, kill them, kill them, kill them. And they were like running. And Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, they were also running for their lives. Of course, they didn't have to run. But in the mood of devotees, they were running for their lives. And Jagai and Madhai were in hot pursuit. And on the way, there was some talk between Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. And Nityananda Prabhu said, Haridas, I think this is the end of both of us. I think this is it. And Haridas said, I think you're right. Then Nityananda said, but you were caned in 22 marketplaces and Krishna saved you. So why don't you pray to Krishna now to save us? And Haridas said, yes, that's true. But then I wasn't associating with a madman like you. You are such a madman that you went up to like the two biggest demons on the planet and told them to chant Hare Krishna and give up their sinful activities. And all the villagers told us, stay away from them, they're very dangerous. And you didn't listen to them, so... Then Nityananda Prabhu said, well, you're blaming me, but actually, I'm not the one to be blamed. It's your master, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who's responsible for this. Never in the history of the world has a Brahmin acted like him, like a king, ordering people to go out into the town and approach people, whether they're pious or sinful, and ask them to chant Hare Krishna. I was just following his order. So don't blame me. You have to blame him. And it's like if I don't obey his order, if we don't obey his order, we're finished. And if we do obey his order, we're finished. So, like that, they were sort of joking and laughing. And meanwhile, Jagai and Madhai were like really aggressively pursuing them. They were fleeing for their lives. And eventually, Jagayan Madhai, although they're very powerful, very strong, and they were very angry, they couldn't keep up. They were a little heavy and drunk, so eventually they fell behind, and Nityananda and Haridas Thakur ran to Mahaprabhu. And he would ask them to come every evening after their preaching and report to him. So they told him what happened. And he asked, who are these Jagat and Madhai? So Gangadas Pandit and Shivas Thakur explained that they are sinful. The whole of Navadvip lives in terror because of them, and that, you know, they kill people, they rape the women, they burn down their houses, they plunder their riches, they drink strong liquor and eat cow's flesh. And Mahaprabhu said, I will kill them. I will cut them to pieces. And Nityananda Prabhu, this is the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu said, no, Lord, don't do that. Don't harm them. In Kali Yuga, our mission is not to kill the demons, but to deliver them. And in Kali Yuga, pretty much everyone will be like Jagaya Madhai. So don't kill them. You give them to me. I'll take charge of them. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, all right, I give them in your charge. And because you want to give mercy to them, I predict that very soon they will be delivered. So while all this was going on, Haridas Thakur was speaking with the Dvaitacharya. And he said, you do not know how difficult it is to have a Sankirtan partner who's a madman. He's an avadut. He goes to people's houses and steals their butter and yogurt. And he's younger. Haridas Thakur was older, so Nityananda Prabhu could run faster. So then when the householder would come out and pursue them, Nityananda would be gone and they'd catch Haridas Thakur. And they said, what is this? What are you doing? And sometimes he would ride on people's bulls and say, I am Mahesh. And sometimes he would milk their cows and drink all the milk. And sometimes he would approach small boys and say, I'm going to beat you. And they'd get frightened and they'd run home to their parents, and then their father would come out with sticks to protect their child. And Nityananda would run away and they'd catch Haridas. And he'd fall at their feet and say, please, please, it's not what you think, it's not. And sometimes he'd go up to innocent young girls and say, I want to marry you. So how... But the worst was today. You know, everyone told us to stay away from these drunken demons. And he went right up to them and said, give up your sinful activities, surrender to Krishna, chant Krishna's name. And they almost killed us. We barely escaped with our lives. And Advaitacharya began to laugh in ecstasy, but with a little anger. And he said, Why are you surprised? It is the nature for drunkards to want to associate with other drunkards. Nityananda Prabhu is always intoxicated with Krishna prema ras. And so it's natural for one drunkard to want to associate with other drunkards. But you are a Naistika Brahmachari. You are very sober and learned. Why are you associating with those three? You let them associate with each other. Why should you get involved with them? And then he said, I know the power of my Nityananda. And you will see within 1 or 2 days, these demons will be chanting and dancing in kirtan with us. So, maybe the next day or 2 days later, Nityananda Prabhu, he was wandering around Navadvip in his playful mood, and he came upon the two drunk brothers. They're always drunk. And he approached them again with the same message. And Madhai became so enraged. He was thinking, like, who is this person? You know, we almost killed him the other day, and still he's coming back. You know, who does he think he is? And he said, who are you? What is your name? He said, I am Avadhut. And that just was it. So Madhai picked up a clay pot, liquor pot, and with all of his immense strength, he smashed the head of Nityananda Prabhu. And he cut a big gash, and blood came out, and it covered his face and gradually his whole body. And he said to Madhai that, I don't mind that you did that to me, but what really causes me pain is how much you're suffering in ignorance. You know, please accept the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and then you will be happy. So that infuriated Madhai even more. So then he picked up another pot, and he was ready, he wanted to kill him. He was ready to smash him with that pot. And Jagai intervened. He said, stop it. Can't you see that this is a genuine saintly person, that he actually has love for you and feels compassion for you? He's trying to help you. What will you gain by killing such an innocent soul? So meanwhile, you know, the news reached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he rushed to the scene. And he was, Prabhupada says, angry as fire. And he immediately called for his Sudarshan Chakra, to kill them. The Chakra came like the blazing sun. And Nityananda Prabhu intervened, and he said, Lord, don't kill them. He said, I'm going to kill them. You know, they have harmed my Nityananda Prabhu. I'm going to kill them. And then he said, but Jagai, he actually saved me. Madhai, he really was wanting to kill me. But Madai stopped him. He saved my life. And when Mahaprabhu heard that, his heart melted. The chakra immediately disappeared. And out of love, he embraced Jagai. And he said, "You have saved my Nityananda Prabhu. You have served my Nityananda Prabhu. I forgive you for all that you have done." And after embracing him, he manifested a four-armed form with the symbols of Vishnu, the club, the disc, the lotus, and conch. And he placed his lotus foot on the heart of Jagai and filled him with ecstatic love for Krishna. And Jagai was weeping in ecstasy. And so then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned his attention back to Madai. He was still angry, and he was ready to kill him. And Madai, his heart also changed. The Chaitanya Bhagavat describes that the two of them were so close, they were like one person in two bodies. So somehow by Jagai's heart changing, his heart also changed. And of course he didn't want to be killed. So he said, You have given mercy to Jagai, but we're together. We've done everything together. Whenever we plundered someone's house, we did it together. You know, whenever I burned down someone's house, he was with me. Whenever I drank liquor, he was with me. Whenever I ate cow's flesh, he was with me. We did everything together. So why are you giving him mercy and not me? You should give me mercy too. And Mahaprabhu said, "No, I will not give you mercy because you have hurt my Nitai." He said, "We have read in the scripture so many people, demons, they have attacked you with weapons, with stones, and you delivered them all. So you should deliver me too." And he said, "No, I will not deliver you. The body of Nityananda is more dear to me than my own body. They attacked my body, and I delivered them. But you attacked Nitai's body, which is more dear to me than my own body. I will not forgive you." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was still ready to kill him, and he just begged for mercy. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, You beg for Nitai's mercy. If he gives you mercy, then I will spare you." So he went and prayed to Nityananda Prabhu. And Mahaprabhu said, "If you actually forgive him, then you should embrace him." And Nityananda, he's like, his whole body was covered by blood from the injury, and he was still bleeding. And he picked up Madhai, who had prostrated himself, and embraced him. That is how merciful he is. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, all right, I will spare you. And then Nitai said, I give him to you. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him Prema Bhakti. And this is like, this is inconceivable. He gave him something that Lord Brahma doesn't have. He gave him something that great rishis and sages and devas are endeavoring to get. He gave it to them. And they're the most horrible, sinful demons. So, all that Nitai wanted came true. Later they went back to Mahaprabhu's house and had Sankirtan. And Mahaprabhu said that all of Nitai's desires have come true. He was thinking that if these two demons, the biggest demons on the planet, if they could receive Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, then my traveling everywhere and preaching will be successful. And he thought, if I can convert these two demons to accept the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then I can actually consider myself that I'm a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if these two demons can chant and dance in ecstasy with the Vaishnavas, I can consider that my name Nityananda has value. And all of that has come true, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. So there is a big festival of Kirtan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, do not any of you think that Jagai and Madhai are sinful. Do not any one of you think that they are sinful. And just to prove it, I will accept all of their sinful reactions. And he said, just watch. And his beautiful golden form, Gauranga, began to accept their sinful reactions, and his body turned black from their sinful reactions. And he asked Advaitacharya, what do you see? What do I look like? What do you see? He said, I see Shamsundar. Gaurasundar has become Shamsundar. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, and how will I get free from these sinful reactions? It will be through Harinam Sankirtan. So all of you do Harinam Sankirtan and I'll be relieved of these sinful reactions. But then where will the sinful reactions go? They will go into the hearts of those who blaspheme Vaishnavas, those who criticize devotees. So they did kirtan, ecstatic kirtan, Mahaprabhu with his black form was dancing in ecstasy, and gradually that blackness went away, it became lighter, and he resumed his original beautiful Gauranga, golden form. So, after this, the Vaishnavas accepted Jagai Madhai. But especially Madhai, he felt very guilty because he had tried to kill Nityananda Prabhu, who was really the cause of his deliverance. And he was very sad, very, very sad. And Nityananda Prabhu could see it. And, you know, he said, you've been liberated, you've been given prema bhakti. Why are you so sad? Don't be so sad. And he said, when I think that I tried to kill you, I just feel terrible. I just can't forgive myself. And Nityananda said that I accept you like my son. Sometimes a child will hit the parent, but the parent doesn't take it seriously. So I forgive you. And then Madhai said, but what about all the other people I caused pain to? I was so intoxicated, I don't even know who they are. I don't even know how to ask them to forgive me. There were so many that I hurt. And Nityananda Prabhu said that you should make a ghat, and when with your own hand, a very beautiful ghat, and when people come to take bath, you prostrate yourself before them and ask them to forgive you. And by being close to the Ganga, you'll be purified and you serve them in any menial way, whoever comes. So he did that. And when people saw, I mean, these are huge demons. When they saw how humble they had become, people's hearts melted, and they gave them all affection and respect. But there were some people who were so angry. They had been so hurt by them in the past, by Madhai in particular. They were like so angry. Seeing him in that humble mood, they would take up a stone and throw it at his head. And Madhai was so humble that he would pick up the stone and return it to them and say, I am so sinful, I've caused so much pain to others. Once is not enough. You should throw it again. And even they, the people who are the most upset and angry, even they had to forgive him and embrace him. So this is the mercy of Gaur Nitai. And that was what Nityananda Prabhu wanted, that people should understand the glory of Mahaprabhu's mercy. And Srila Prabhupada has really taken up the same mood, of approaching anyone and everyone without discrimination, pious or sinful, qualified or unqualified. As Nityananda Prabhu said, in Kali Yuga, everyone will practically be like Jagai and Madhai. And that's probably more apparent in America and Europe than in India. Although I did hear one lecture in which Srila Prabhupada, he was talking about how demonic the Western civilization is and how the leaders, pretty much everyone is a demon. And then he said, actually in my country also, 80%, they're also demons. So, but still, what Prabhupada entered in 1965 when he came to America is like something you can't imagine. People in India, this you can't imagine. In fact, one very nice devotee in Mumbai, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, used to say that people cannot imagine who Srila Prabhupada approached when he went to America. And he recommended that everyone must see the DVDs, those old DVDs of Srila Prabhupada when he first came to America, and he was at 26 Second Avenue in New York and Golden Gate Park in San Francisco. You just can't believe, you can't imagine the type of people that he was approaching. And they didn't always receive him well. In fact, there was one incident I thought of this morning. When Srila Prabhupada was staying in the Bowery, I hope you've read Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. Everyone should read Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. And also see the DVD series following Srila Prabhupada. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada was living in a loft in the Bowery, which is the most degraded part of New York City. It's known to be inhabited by drunks. But somehow there was... They had a little respect. They would be drunk and they'd be like sprawled out on the sidewalk and even on the stairs leading up to Prabhupada's apartment. But they somehow they sensed that he was a saintly person, and they like try to move over and make room for him to pass. But he was staying there with a young man who seemed interested. In fact, Prabhupada thought, I'll train him as a Vaishnav. But one day that young man, he became like crazy. And it's probably taking LSD or something, like the 1960s equivalent of the strong wine that Jagai and Madhai were taking 500 years ago. He just went crazy. And he wanted to attack Srila Prabhupada, like he was ready to kill him. Like Madhai was ready to kill Nityananda Prabhu. And Srila Prabhupada, he just like bolted out of the room and went running down the stairs, and this boy was like pursuing him. It was just the same. And then it's quite a history how Srila Prabhupada just stayed at different people's homes. He stayed in the loft of one African-American who was... He's interested. He had been coming to the classes. He was learning a little Sanskrit. And his wife. The loft means it's like a big room, just one big room. So it was the three of them. And the wife started to feel uncomfortable they put up a curtain, so like they had their area and Prabhupada had his area, but she started to feel uncomfortable like having the Swami there all the time. She felt sort of restricted. And Prabhupada understood. And he didn't have anywhere to go. So then Mukunda Maharaj, who was here in San Diego for many years, he actually found a place, 26 Second Avenue, and put down the rent for a month and Prabhupada moved there. But what Prabhupada endured for the sake of delivering the mercy of Gaur Nitai is inconceivable. I mean, living in such conditions, even on the boat on the way to America, he suffered two heart attacks, and even in America, he had a lot of physical problems. But he endured everything, like all these attacks of Maya, for the sake of delivering Gaur Nitai's mercy to us. And what Nityananda Prabhu wanted has been fulfilled by Srila Prabhupada outside India. What Nityananda Prabhu wanted was fulfilled in Bengal. But through Srila Prabhupada, it's been fulfilled throughout the world. So Srila Prabhupada is really the embodiment of the mood and mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. There's no one in the history of our Sampradaya, no one after Nityananda Prabhu, has taken up that mood of approaching anyone and everyone without discrimination, without considering who's qualified and unqualified. And it's the same message, chant Krishna's name, worship Krishna, accept Krishna as your life and soul. But not in so many words, because the people that Srila Prabhupada was approaching didn't even know who Krishna was. I mean, when Nityananda approached people in Navadvipa, chant Krishna's name, worship Krishna, accept Krishna as your life and soul, they know who Krishna was. They knew what he was saying. But in America and Europe, nobody knew who Krishna was. So just that, you know, chant Krishna's name, worship Krishna, had to be explained in detail, in books. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada wrote so many books to explain who is Krishna, what is Krishna's name, how to chant Krishna's name, how to worship Krishna, why we should accept Krishna as our life and soul, why we should surrender to Krishna. The same thing, the same message that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Nityananda Prabhu to deliver to everyone, whether they're pious or sinful, but in an expanded form, because the people that Prabhupada was approaching had no idea who is Krishna, what is Krishna's name, or any of the instruction. And when we go out with Srila Prabhupada's books, we're doing this just like when Mahaprabhu sent out Nityananda and Haridas, just approaching people with that message. And sometimes devotees are not well received, but even Nityananda and Haridas, they were not always well received, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have these nocturnal kirtans at Srivas Thakur's house, and if anyone was proud, they couldn't come in. Only humble, pure devotees were allowed. So like all these proud people in Navadvipa, they were very upset and angry that they weren't allowed to join the kirtan. So when Nityananda and Haridas came, They were very angry at them. But, oh, you've come from that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Shivas Thakur. And they said, spread so many rumors about them that they're actually thieves. They come to your door and they say to chant Krishna's name and worship Krishna, but really what they're doing is they're looking in your house to see what you have so they can come back at night and steal it all. They were spreading a lot of criticism. So that we have to accept. We have to expect and we have to accept it. But that didn't stop Nityananda Prabhu, and it didn't stop Srila Prabhupada, and it shouldn't stop any of us. So this is really the continuation of Nityananda Prabhu's mission. And Srila Prabhupada really had that mood. He had one disciple. One of his early disciples came to India and was in Calcutta. So the temple president phoned Srila Prabhupada in Bombay. And he told him that this early disciple was smoking ganja, which I guess means marijuana. Prabhupada didn't actually take the call, but his secretary took the call and relayed the message. You know, the president from the temple wanted to know what to tell the disciple. And Srila Prabhupada said, tell him that if he doesn't stop smoking ganja, I will reject him. And then afterwards, Tamal Krishna Goswami asked him, is it true that if he doesn't stop smoking ganja, you'll reject him? And Srila Prabhupada said, no, it's not true. I cannot reject anyone. And Tamal Krishna Goswami said, but don't you have to draw the line somewhere? And Srila Prabhupada said, the mercy of Lord Nityananda is unlimited. So that was Srila Prabhupada's mood. He was in the mood of Nityananda Prabhu. we are the recipients of Gaur Nitai's mercy through Srila Prabhupada. By Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we're chanting Krishna's name and worshipping Krishna and accepting Krishna as the goal of our lives. And it's also his mercy and order that we should also preach the same message to others. To our capacity, we can speak. And whatever our capacity to speak may or may not be, we can give them books, Prabhupada's books, that ultimately come to the same message of Mahaprabhu, just elaborated and presented in a way that people without any background in Vedic knowledge can understand. So on this occasion, most sacred and blessed occasion, we can pray to Nityananda Prabhu to inspire us and empower us with his mood of humble mood. Yes, I didn't mention this, but I should mention it. When Nityananda Prabhu would approach people after giving the instruction, he would say that if you accept this instruction, I will consider you more dear to me than my own life. And if someone did not accept the sacred instruction, he would prostrate himself at their feet and beg them to take it. And he is Lord Balaram. He is the origin of all the Vishnu forms. He's the origin of Mahashankarshan, who is in turn the origin of Mahavishnu, Karnadakshai Vishnu. By his breathing, universes are generated from the pores of his body. And then a portion of that Mahavishnu is Garbhodakshai Vishnu. And he enters into every universe and gives birth to Brahman, engineers the creation of every universe. And then Kshirodakshai Vishnu, he's the super soul in everyone's heart. I mean, he's like that person who's the origin. He is like rolling in the dust of people's feet and begging them, just chant Hare Krishna. I did see that mood in Srila Prabhupada. I mean, he often instructed us, but I saw it personally. When we first came to Bombay, there was a program on the terrace of the house where we were staying, 6 Area Bhavan on Marine Drive. It was like very glamorous, you know, near the sea. And it was night, there was lights, it was lit up. And our host, Kailash Seksaria, had invited like all the elite, affluent, aristocratic people of Bombay that he knew. And Prabhupada, like with that same humility as Nityananda Prabhu, he begged them. He said it. I'm taking like a straw in my mouth and begging you, please chant Hare Krishna. That's like Nityananda Prabhu. And he often quoted a verse by Prabodhananda Saraswati, how we should approach people. It's just the way Nityananda Prabhu approached them. And the verse is, Dante ni daya chinakam patayor ni patya, that I take a straw in my mouth. It's like a sign of utter humility. And I bow at your feet. Dante ni daya chinakam patayor ni patya. Kritva chakaku sadare tadaham bravime. And I... the verse says, and I flatter you 100 times. Hey Sadhava, O great, learned, noble man, hey Sadhava, Sakala Eva Vihaya Dura, whatever you have learned, you keep it far away from you. And Gauranga Chandra Charane Guru Tanuraga, just accept the mercy of Lord Gauranga, the surrender to Lord Gauranga, become attached to Lord Gauranga. So that verse of Prabodhananda Saraswati's was repeated many times by Srila Prabhupada, how we should approach people. And Srila Prabhupada did it himself. I remember once there was he was a big shipper in Bombay. I was quite successful meeting all the big people in Bombay and getting them to support Krishna consciousness. But this one in particular, he was avoiding me. But I would never stop. So I could not get through to him at his office, like too many secretaries and too many doors. So once I just took a chance, I went to his house. As a, like on the weekend, like he was totally unprepared. And, you know, he opened the door himself. He opened the door and he saw me. And, you know, there's still a little coffee. He wouldn't, like, slam the door in my face. So he invited me in. But I could see it was, like, very smug. So first thing he said is, you know, what can I do for you? And I guess that sort of annoyed me. So I guess I was also pretty contaminated. So
yeah.
So I said, you know, I haven't come so you can do something for me. I've come to do something for you. He said, you've come to do something for me. What can you do for me? So I said, I've come to engage you in Krishna's service. So anyway, it was like Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, in the sense he sent them out, and then in the evening they would come back and report. So I came back and reported. I told Prabhupada about the exchange. And Prabhupada said, to preach, you have to be very humble. He said, if you approach a materialistic person and you say, of course, sometimes Prabhupada would say the opposite, so it really does depend on the context. But in this case, he said, if you approach someone and say, you know, everything is Krishna's property, you've stolen it all from Krishna, you should return it to Krishna, the sooner the better, they'll get angry. What do you mean, that's my hard-earned money? What do you mean it belongs to Krishna? But if you say, we're building a temple, I've come as a beggar to your door. Oh, a beggar has come. Okay. Take something and go. So Prabhupada was, so that humble mood, Nityananda was begging. He wasn't begging for money, but he was begging for them to take the holy name. Literally begging. Falling at their feet, rolling in the dust and begging them. And that's what Prabhupada did with us. He did so much. Again, if you read the Lilamrita, what he did in the early days, like the young boys and girls in San Francisco, they wanted to take him to the beach. And they have a picnic. So they made a fire, and I guess they put potatoes in the fire, and he went along with so much. He went along with so much. And Satsarupa Maharaj, he wrote very nicely that, you know, he did what they wanted, you know, to have like an evening at the sunset at the beach. And and when he did the Premadvani prayers, you know, the jais, and he said, all glories to the Pacific Ocean. So he did what they wanted, but he got them to do what he wanted, which was to chant Hare Krishna. So just like that. None of us would be here if Srila Prabhupada didn't do what he did. Even I've met many Indians who've said, You know, I'm so glad I met the devotees here. They, you know, and became Krishna conscious. I can't be Krishna conscious like this in India because of the association of the family members. I have some devotee friends. They go back, and their family members and friends, you know, they want them to drink alcohol and eat meat. And when they refuse, then their family says, "What's wrong with you? You know, you went to America, and now you've come back, and you're supposed to be the leader in these things now. And now you won't even touch them. Like, what? So everywhere, people are pretty fallen. And I guess I'll conclude with, it's one of the favorite statements of Srila Prabhupada's that I recall. He said that to approach Radha and Krishna, you need the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you need the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you have to approach people like Jagai and Madhai. So... So if we ever like feel, oh, you know, like sort of, I'm too high, I'm too holy, I can't like approach these people. We should think of that instruction and Srila Prabhupada's own example and Nityananda Prabhu's example. And really pray to be instruments, humble instruments of their love and mercy and compassion. And that will... as Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj told him, that will be good for you, and that will be good for the people who help you. And most of all, we should loudly chant the holy names. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.